In the name of the glorious Trinity, Father and Son and Holy Spirit, forever. Amen. Glory be to the everlasting mercies which sent you to us, O Christ, the light of the world and the life of all. Give us wisdom by your law and enlighten our impulses by your knowledge. Sanctify our souls by your truth and grant that we may be obedient to your words and may fulfill your commandments at every hour. O you who enlightens the rational with the knowledge of your greatness, do enlighten, O my Lord, our thoughts, that we may meditate upon your holy and divine scriptures at all times, O Lord of all, Father and Son and Holy Spirit forever. Amen.
Receive the peace of our Lord, beloved. We are reading and studying and examining the book of Acts, Acts of the Apostles, chapter 12. We left at verse 19. A little background. We were, last episode, we read that Simon Peter, Simon the Rock, who was imprisoned by Herod, was released, not escaped, but he was released by an angel and he goes home and shows himself to the family and instructs them to tell James and the brothers, because the apostles had to be all in line with the information, knowing of each other's whereabouts and what's happening, what the Lord is doing. Just like today, you know, we have the different dioceses and the dioceses communicate. We receive congratulatory letters and you know, condolences when we are in trouble or something happens. We receive those encouraging words, the prayers and what have you. So we're connected to one another through Christ. Praise and glory be to his name. And then we read that Herod feels that he's being mocked in some way and orders the execution of the soldiers. And we ascertained that just as his grandfather, who felt that he was mocked by the wise men in Matthew 2:16, when he wanted to seek Jesus to kill him, but he said to the wise men, go and find him, I want to come and worship him. But they knew, the angel told them that, no, this man is deceiving you. He doesn't want to worship, he wants war, he wants to kill the King of Kings. He wants to kick against the thistles. So he orders the execution of the soldiers. Let's continue verse 20, and we read, and we'll take it verse by verse and see what we learn from these verses, but most importantly, how we can affect and apply it in our lives. We're going to learn a lesson today about vainglory when you bask in people's glorification of you. When you bask in people's glorification on you, of you, and you don't then direct that glory to God. So let's read. Keeping in mind that this church, these people were in, there was a famine, there was a drought and there was a famine. Okay, so they're probably, you know, suffering because of the famine. Verse 20, Herod was angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon. That's where the famine was. But they assembled together and came to him, and they appealed to Blastus, the king's chamberlain, and asked him that they might have peace, because their country was dependent upon the kingdom of Herod for food supplies. So there's a famine and they're starving. You know, it's like, let's go and make peace with this person because we'll die otherwise. You know, sometimes, isn't it? Imagine, it's amazing that sometimes peace comes along after severity of circumstances. Sometimes it takes severity to make peace, you know, during death. So two brothers are not on talking terms, and there is a death in the family, God forbid, Racham Kulan. There is a death in the family. And after the death has occurred, the two brothers make peace. Why wait until that period? Why wait until that point? or a sister and a brother, or you know, family members are not on talking terms. They totally ignore one another, and you know, they don't want to see each other. But when they hear there is a beloved family member that is hospitalized and it's critical, it's terminal, and then they attend the they visit the patient in the hospital and they start weeping. Why did it take this severity to make peace? Why don't we live peacefully on earth? You know, we, the children of God, are called to peace, beloved. And which peace? The peace that Jesus brought, the genuine peace. John 14:27, peace I give you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives, but the way my peace I'm giving you. The peace that I made, the reconciliation between you and my Father, eternal peace. The peace that is not flattering. No, I give you peace, but there's times through my commandments, you'll think to yourself, well, this is not so peaceful. This is suffering. But hey, we still take peace and comfort even in our suffering because we know that Christ did not fool us. Christ told us that suffering will always be there for the taking, available for the Christians, those who believe in him. In Romans chapter 12, verses 17 to 18, St. Paul writes to the Christians, to the believers, to those who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, accepted him as their Lord, were baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and were adopted as children by God. This is what St. Paul writes in Romans chapter 12, verses 17 to 18. Recompense to no man evil. Don't pay anyone evil for evil. But be diligent to do good things before the presence of all men. If it be possible, as much as lies on you, as much as is from your behalf, on your end, live peacefully with all men. Be at peace with everyone. So these people wanted to make peace with Herod because times were tough. The severity of famine caused them to make peace. Well, you know, let's give them the benefit of the doubt and say, well, at least they're trying to make peace, right? But I wonder what's going to happen to this flattering peace. You know, there was an intent behind this. And look at what it does to Herod. Verse 21. Upon the set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon the throne and addressed the assembly. So he's, how we say, he's in his royal clothes, he sits on the throne, and he starts speaking to these people. Well, that's a good thing for him, but they say all good things must come to an end, right? Well, no, actually, no, I don't subscribe to that, because good extends to eternity, which is God, our good and merciful God. Again, let's take it face value. All things must come to an end. If all good things must come to an end, how much more evil things will come to an end, beloved? Hence, in Psalms 37, verse 1, we read, "Fret not because of evildoers, neither be envious of the workers of iniquity." Those people who strive and succeed in evil through evil, don't fret, don't envy them. Don't envy a person, a family member, a relative, a friend, a BFF, whoever it is. Don't envy a person who succeeds in life through evil. Because if all good things come to an end, the evil will definitely come to an end, beloved. Verse 22, and all the people shouted. Now he's sitting on his throne. Look at what the people are shouting. This sounds like the voice. These people are hypocrites. They're flattering. They're mchaya mishcha in Assyrian, right? They're sweet talking. They're kissing his hand, right? And all the people shouted, saying, "This sounds like the voice of God speaking and not that of a man." You know, when we need something sometimes, when we are in desperate need, dire straits, we too start flattering to a point where we begin to call evil good. This is what these people were doing. But the scriptures teach us totally contrary to that, beloved. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 5. A man that is duplicitous, that is flattering, deceitful, with his neighbor, spreads a net for his steps. There's a danger. Someone who flatters you, someone who calls your evil good, is spreading a net before your feet, and you will fall into that, and you will be captured, and you'll be ensnared. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 23. He that rebukes a man finds more favor than he that is duplicitous with his tongue. When someone who rebukes, corrects, admonishes another person's evil, that person will find more favor eventually, because when that person then repents from the evil, when that person turns away from his ways that are taking him to the perdition of sin, then that person will have more favor than one who allows his brother, his friend, his best friend to continue in evil and then to die in that evil, beloved. And this is what these people did to Herod, but he didn't see this. Now, let's read what happens to Herod, beloved. Verse 23, and because he did not give the glory to God, you know, when people say, oh, you know, you did a great job, you say, oh, glory to God, glory be to God. That is absolutely right. But not only lip service, we're going to see how we can really genuinely glorify God. So he didn't give glory to God. In that very hour, an angel of the Lord smote him, and he was eaten by diseases and died. Wow, that's pretty severe. Alarming, right? But St. John Chrysostom writes something quite interesting and encouraging. Herod's death, he writes, is a confirmation of Christ's divinity. Side note. He writes, if this man, because he heard himself called the voice of a God and not of man, he only heard, suffered such a fate, even though he said nothing, the angel smote him. How much more would Christ have suffered where he was always saying things like, the words of mine are not mine, but my Father's. The angels will minister to me. John 14, 10. John 18, 36. He says, my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is in heaven. Kingdom, where there is a kingdom, there is a king. Kingdom means the domain of a king, the dominion of a king. And in Psalm chapter 10, verse 16, we read, the Lord God is king to the eternity of eternities. God of the Old Testament has been said to be only the king to the eternity of eternities. So if Christ then truly, God, you know, cleanse me, O Lord, if Christ was not divine and was not God, would not the angel have then done exactly the same as he did to Herod? So he is God, praise and glory to his name. He had every right to claim that he is the king and that his kingdom is not of this world. So Herod was told, we are told, that Herod was struck down because he did not give glory to God. Again, that's alarming, beloved. So the question is, how do we give glory to God? How do we glorify God? Well, Jesus gives us an example. He gives us the hint. Matthew 5:16. Thus your light will shine before men. Thus your light will mesmerize, amaze, blow their minds of men, that they may see your good works. Isn't it amazing? Jesus doesn't say, thus your light will shine before the men that they may see your faith alone. No, no, no. That they may see your good works and may glorify your Father in heaven. So just faith, according to this scripture, will not give that glory to God in heaven. So now we're getting a picture of, all right, so if I want to glorify God, I don't just simply
accept him as my Lord and Savior in my heart, and then I have eternal life and there is nothing else I need to do. No, then I need to continue in that faith and produce good deeds in order for people to glorify God, my Father, who is in heaven. Question, why was Herod only struck down? Well, the angel punishes the one who had most to answer. He was the one being glorified, and he became an example, and others believed. Let's continue reading. But the gospel of God continued to be preached, and it reached many. Wow. One man's gain loss is another man's gain, right? One man's punishment is another man's salvation. One man's punishment is another man's delivery or deliverance. So sometimes when God uses us as examples, truly they become examples for those who are like us but don't see the danger that we are in. So God will use you to show the rest of the world, just as he used Herod. Today we are reading this, 2024 years, give and take. We're reading that God punished him, but others then believed and the gospel continued to be spread. So let's go back again. What does it mean to glorify God, beloved? First and foremost, we must know and understand. Please, no human being on the face of the earth has, is, nor can hinder God's glory in any way, shape, or form. We cannot increase nor decrease his glory, period. So what does it mean that we glorify God in our lives, in our hearts, in our minds? When I glorify God, when I proclaim glory be to God, does God's glory increase? Is there a thermometer? There is a gauge where God's glory is increasing? No, no, beloved. Glorifying God entails giving praise, honor, and admiration to him. When we do, we must do it by our words, deeds, and actions. That's how we glorify our God. A few steps, beloved. At all times, remember that God is not in need of the service of his creation. Acts 17, 24, 25. You know, sometimes when we do something, it's like, yeah, God owes me because I did this. God doesn't need you to do it. You need to do it, beloved. It is for your own benefit, for your spiritual growth, for your continued relationship with God, for your best interest to share in God's life. Acts 17, 24, 25, for the God who made the world and everything whatsoever is in it and is the Lord of the heavens and of the earth does not dwell in temples made with hands, and he is not served by the hands of man, and he has no need of anything because he gives every person life and a soul. There it is. God doesn't need us to glorify him. But we glorify him so that we share in his glory as well. Someone asked me once, how do we bless the Lord? What, do I stand before the altar and say, God bless you? Who's going to bless God? You know, in some faiths, it is said that God prayed on someone. Who does God pray to? Is there another God? No, there is only one God, the Father Almighty, right? So if God praise, if God prays, who does he pray to? Well, off the bat, there's a flaw in that statement. Someone asks, how do we bless the Lord or how do we hallow his name? See, it is not so much that we bless the Lord or hallow his name, beloved, but more so we surrender to the truth that he is the source of our blessings, and his name is so hallowed and sanctified in our souls, hearts, minds, and strengths. Now you may say, how do I prove that? And that should be, beloved, at all times. And at all times we should be obeying and surrendering to his will. And if called, we are to at all times be prepared to leave all and follow him if we are called. You may be asking again, but how does that then portray or confirm my glory to God? Well, before you answer that, remember, beloved, to be a Christian is to be a Christ, just as the Christ, Jesus Christ. Praise be to his name. This entails avoiding vainglory and ascribing to God alone all that we do and say. Ascribing glory to God alone in all that we do and say. Christmas is approaching. How can we celebrate the birth of the Savior of the world who redeemed us from death and sin when we are willingly and joyfully living in sin? How? How can we attend the church services when we are joyfully, willingly, no conviction whatsoever, living in immorality and sin? How can we come and celebrate the birth of the Savior? What did he save you from? From sin, from death, but we're in sin. You know, it's best not to come because that's hypocrisy. You want to be glorified by man that you're a church, but then God's not being glorified. Actually, how can we give glory to God for his Christ when our light is so darkened, causing our deeds to be evil, yet expecting people to glorify God? So we want people to call our evil good so that God is glorified. That's blasphemy. We are being a tool for the blasphemy of God's name. Let it not be. So how do we, beloved, how do we glorify God in our words, deeds, and actions? When God is sanctified in my heart, in my soul, in my mind, I will live according to God. I will live, I will walk the path of God. I will live the commandments of God. I will not call evil, not justify my evil because there's legislations. No, no, no. I will not justify my evil. No, I will repent from evil. If I want to glorify God, I will not call my friends evil good. No, I will actually admonish because a man who admonishes his brother finds favor. Let's not be flattered by the vainglory people ascribe to us by calling our evil good, beloved. The angel of the Lord may be sent to give us a severe awakening. Let us always ascribe glory to the Lord of glory and offer thanksgiving for gracing us with the blessing of being vessels of glory to his name. Let us at all times sing aloud, confessing that God is holy. Holy, holy is our Father in heaven. Heaven and earth are full of the greatness of his glory. Angels and men cry to him, holy, holy, holy. And how do we then portray that? How do we genuinely show that we are glorifying our God? We live God's holiness in our lives because we have been called to holiness, beloved. It's a sacrament. It's a sacrament. You believe in God. You glorify God. You want to glorify God. Okay, so how is it seen? Where's the practicality of the glory of God that you are ascribing? Is when you act upon it. Hence, let your light shine so that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. You work good deeds. Don't expect and receive and wait for vainglory. That way you are glorifying God. Then the people who see you will surely say, glory be to God because this man is a man of God. That's what they said when the soldiers said when there was a thunder and there was darkness when Jesus was crucified. This man truly was the man of God, or does he say the Son of God actually? So beloved, let us not be hearers. Every time we receive, and 9.9 out of 10 times, when men glorify you, it doesn't take so much long to feel the knife stab in your back. It's vainglory. When men glorify you, you return that glory to God and say, we are truly unworthy servants. This is what Herod should have done. Herod should have said, no, I am not God. I am a servant of God. But back then, let's give him the benefit of the doubt. He didn't know all this. There was no podcast messages and preaching about the glory of God. But we have that. And at all times, we should give thanks. At all times, we should praise the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit forever. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this week's message. Please don't forget to rate and review this podcast and share it with your friends and family. For any future topic suggestions or to give us detailed feedback, please visit our link in the show notes, linktr.ee/doubleedgedsword. Until next time, God bless you all.